Hi, this is Joel.
And I'm Stacy.
And you're listening to That Reload Life.
Let's listen to it. Probably stupid. Got it.
Hey, what's going on, guys? And welcome back to another episode of That Reload Life. If you're listening to this, you're in the right place. As always, I'm your host, Joel, and I'm joined by my beautiful and talented co-host, Miss Stacy.
Hey, guys.
So, guys, on this episode, we're going to be talking about a trip that I went on to Texas here recently with the company Camp Chef. It was an amazing trip. First time for me actually being in the state of Texas. And I actually got to do a little bit of Rio turkey hunting and wild boar hunting as well. Also on this, I did a lot of cooking. I mean, a lot. I was joined by two amazing chefs and one of the head guys over there at Camp Chef. His name is Mr. Brooks Hansen. He showed us a good time, man, and we just really threw down all week. Amazing experience that I'll never forget. But I haven't told any of this really in detail to Stacy because...
Well, you know, since he came home, I've wanted to hear all about the trip. And, you know, I've gotten bits and pieces here and there. But every time he wants to tell me about his hunts, it seems like they're going to get interesting. And so I've stopped him. I've said, listen, let's hold off on these stories until we can record a podcast. And then everybody can listen to them for the first time, just as I have. So here we are.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it's kind of the script is flipped a little bit. You know, Stacy's going to be interviewing me on this podcast. And but we're just going to talk like we normally do. I'm excited to talk about this. You know, I got to experience some things, like I said, that were some things I'll just never forget. So anyways, without further ado...
Well, for one, you have never been further west than Memphis, right?
No. I went to Colorado.
Oh, yeah, never mind. And so that kind of, that I forgot about that. I knew that. You told me about that on our first date.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
A lot about that on our first date.
She's blocked a lot about our first date out.
No, that's not true. No. So, yeah, but he's never been to Texas. It's kind of been somewhere that a lot of people have kept telling you to come down there and hunt. And this opportunity actually came up 5 or 6 weeks before you actually left. So, it was put together pretty quickly, and of course he jumped on that opportunity even though he had to leave me behind.
Well, I mean, it's this kind of stuff is, you know, when you have a company call you and say, hey, we want to fly you down, put you up, all expenses paid, and we just want to spend the week with you and get to know you. I mean, that right there is an opportunity that you don't get to, a lot of people don't get. You know, something I've always looked at others going, man, I wish I could do something like that. And I'm really fortunate that Camp Chef reached out and said, hey, we want to get to know you better. Come on down. And not to mention that the two people that they also picked to come down and join me on this trip was one, my buddy John Wallace, the wild game cook, as he's known on Instagram, and my buddy Tim, the Bama Grillmaster, who is an excellent pit master and barbecuer.
And hunter.
I've always wanted to meet Tim, cook with Tim, hang out with Tim. We had this like online bromance for a while, but never have gotten a chance to connect. And I've actually hunted with John once on my property in West Tennessee where I do most of my deer hunting. So me and John already had this relationship together. We met online.
Going back to our topics of, you know, becoming friends with people online before you've actually even met them in person, you invited John to come hunt deer on your property the season before.
Yeah, well, I mean, me and John, when I first got on Instagram and didn't really know what Instagram was, you know, he was doing the same thing, and we just by random chance started following each other, and that's been so. Fast forward 6 years later, we're good buddies, man. We're cut from the same cloth, and it was just, you know, when you think about going on a trip like this, and you've got other cooks or other hunters, and you know, and you never know if somebody's gonna have a big head or an ego, or something. Mm-hmm. So you, when you don't know who's going on there. But when I found out these two men were going to be going down there, it just made the trip that much sweeter.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I felt pretty good about it. So one thing you haven't told me about was, like, how was your living arrangements there?
Oh, they were awesome. I mean, like,
where did you stay and sleep?
So they had this house. I mean, believe me, this was no five-star resort, but, I mean, for a hunting cabin, it was five-star. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. So it was a hunting cabin.
It was a house, you know, small, you know, 800-square-foot house, something like that. Wow. Yeah, it had three bedrooms. Each room had, like, bunk bed and then, like, a full bed mm-hmm. in it. And then, like, one bedroom had... like a queen. So it was designed to house several people.
Yeah.
You know
now,
I mean?
Was this the Ravelli Ranch?
Yes.
So does that place have multiple houses like that to stay at people, or is that like the main lodging?
No.
There?
So here's the thing is this is not a hunting ranch.
Oh.
I mean, there's animals on the ranch, but this is not like a high fence. Like they don't have high fences. There's other properties butting up to this one that have high fences. But this property is actually a recreational ranch where they would, which I didn't know this till I got there, actually. But they would, they'll do like, mountain biking. They have a huge mountain biking course. They do the Spartan races there.
Oh, that's so
they do,
cool.
They do the Tough Mudder races there. And so he's got the, and also while we were there, a huge platoon of Air Force, you know, cadets whatever. A bunch of Air Force people were there. They were going to bring in a big helicopters and stuff, but the weather pushed those out. But they were doing a competition, a live competition, where they were doing a 16-mile run up to this Ravelli Peak, which is this top of this mountain or whatever. That's why they call it Ravelli Ranch, because you could see the peak of this mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were doing a live run through there, live fire, you know, simulated explosions. We could hear it at nighttime. Didn't matter if it was pouring freaking rain.
Was it training, or was this more like a leisure thing for them?
No, it was both. It was training, but they had set these young men and women up into teams, and they would they were competing against each other. They were
you
like,
guys saw all this?
Oh yeah. So there's this huge pavilion. I didn't get to see them actually doing their exercises, but there's this huge pavilion, which was like the, hey, we're all coming back here thing. And that's where we were doing all of our cooking.
So how did they like the fact that you guys are cooking all this amazing
food? Well, we felt like shit. We hated it at first because we're like, holy crap, these guys are...
They're hungry.
They were... Well, listen, we fed them.
You did?
Not to the extent we wanted to feed them, but we'd get down there and we'd fire up the smoker, fire up the flat top, and we just start doing our thing. And here they come dragging in, and they're looking at us like, look at these guys. Oh, we thought they were, but they were actually all really cool. You know, I'm not used to, you know, people calling me sir. You know, and that kind of stuff. And I'd
except
ask them a
children.
Question. They were like, yes, sir. No, sir. Yeah, except for my children. They
just kidding.
Yeah, crack that ass.
Anyway, sorry.
But what I was getting at is we, first of all, so Camp Chef, Brooks, they went over and beyond. We had an overabundance of food.
You could also, Allen Brothers hooked
right.
y'all up.
Well, so Tim, you know, he is affiliated with Allen Brothers Steaks, which is like high-end steaks. Wagyu, you know, is top-of-the-shelf ribeyes, whatever you want. Smoked,
I know all about it. I see their posts.
Smoked duck legs. This is stuff that I would never buy personally, it wasn't amazing, because it was out of my price range. But they sent us down a boatload of meat with bone-in ribeyes. We had Alaskan king crab, smoked duck legs. We had the Wagyu beef ribs.
The smoked duck legs, though, for some reason, when I saw that on your story, or maybe it was Tim's story, that's the one thing that I thought, I would love to try that.
So good.
There was like a ton, wasn't there?
There was a bunch.
They were already smoked, and you just had to...
They're already smoked, so all we had to do is bring them to temp.
Or maybe a cold smoke or something? I don't know.
No, they were, I mean, they weren't, like, you could have ate them cold. They weren't, mm-hmm. like, already, they weren't raw or just cold smoked, like you're saying. Like, they were cooked. We just had to bring them up to temp, you know, and they were fantastic.
Well, did you,
so good.
You guys did eat them?
Yeah.
I didn't see any documentation of that.
Well, because I was stuffing my face. But no.
I didn't see that on John's or Tim's, though. I was really looking forward to the duck legs.
So, you're about to lose your mic, too. But, so the last day that we cooked like a feast. Which we will get. I guess we can go and get into that. We cooked a freaking feast. I mean, a ginormous spread. We basically took everything we had left over from shopping
and hunting,
and Allen Brothers, and we had a feast. So, but let's get into that after, because some of the things that were involved in the feast involved some of the other experiences I got to have.
All right, so you get there. What was the first hunt you guys went on?
So, when we get there, you know, they talked about there's turkeys everywhere. Rio turkeys are everywhere. Come down here, yeah, and kill these things. Well, we get there, and I guess, you know, something about this blue bonnet, they came in early so that the turkeys started their mating season early, and they're like, we can't find them. You know, but from what I was seeing on the place, there was a lot of activity, and what I gathered is that the turkeys were just pushed off. So The first day we get there, we get a tour of the place, and they're showing us everything, and me and John, who are avid turkey hunters, we're looking at each other like, you know, we can.
He gets his first time, and now he's an avid turkey hunter.
Let me tell you all my secrets.
I'm just kidding.
Well, okay. I'll say out of
I'm a professional turkey hunter.
Well, you know. So, anyways, but we, it just, everything looked turkey, you know. And if you have hunted turkey, or if you're a hunter, you get it when something just looks like an area for that, you know, you just feel it, I guess. So, we get through the tour, we get back, you know, we have some food. I don't even remember what we had the first night. I think we just snacked because it was such a go day. Oh, I have to say this. We stopped in Austin, downtown Austin.
Oh, that's what it was. You had authentic Texas barbecue.
Because, well, while we're talking northern when we're in Texas. But but no, we...
Did you slap your spurs on to walk in some of those joints?
Well, I'll say this. The guy knew I wasn't from Texas. And he goes, where are you from? Because I'm up from Knoxville, Tennessee. He goes, oh, that ugly orange. You know, because they're also UT.
They're that burnt orange.
That burnt orange. And I said, man, you'd look good in some Tennessee orange. He was like, that's some ugliest shit I ever seen.
Oh,
well, he was joking around. But anyways, we stopped in and got, I'm telling you, it was just like, we don't have this in Tennessee, this kind of barbecue. You walk in and it's almost like cafeteria style, but it's this rustic place, and they're like, you know, do you want brisket, or do you want beef short ribs, do you want barbecue, what do you want? And I'm looking at it, I said, well, I want to get the short rib, I want to get the beef rib, and I want the brisket. Well, for me, I thought a brisket was that big 14 pound chunk of meat that we got, you know, do the little test where it limps over your finger and stuff. This was the brisket still attached to the bone.
Oh.
So he gave me two pieces of meat with a bone on it, and I go, no, I want a brisket. He's like, yeah, it's right there. You know, I couldn't tell you the part. So.
No, why? It's not regional. I mean, like, I know it's a regional cuisine, but, like, why can't we get a joint like that around here?
Well, it's not that we can't. I mean, heck, we could start a place. It's just, you know, the people with the know-how, I guess. Yeah. I don't freaking know.
There's a lot of knowledge and background that goes into making that.
So anyways, that first night, we didn't have a huge dinner because we ate so much at freaking lunch. It was so good. But long story short, it got decided me and John were going to go hunt for Rios the first morning, and that Tim and Brooks were going to go chase Oddad, which I didn't know. I knew what Oddad was, and I kind of wish we had gotten one. So it's like this big thing. It's as big, almost as big as an elk. Maybe like just in between a whitetail and an elk size-wise. They're pretty big body. And they've got these big ram-like horns, the big curl, you know, curled around, kind of ram-like horn. And we were talking about on the way
they're
up.
They're just out in the wild?
Yeah, these are wild. So these things are, these things could get off this ranch if they wanted to. You know, like I said, it's not a high-fence ranch here. Either way, like, you can't high-fence a turkey. It could fly.
Yeah.
You know? But, so, apparently, Oddad was described, me and John asked what the taste was like, and it got described as, if you were to roll a ball of shit in your mouth and chew on it, that's what Oddad tastes like.
So why would you even want to hunt that?
Well, one, because it's conservation.
Yeah.
Because they just, whoosh, and two, because trophy hunters want a trophy.
But so that's why you never hear of Oddad, because people aren't sitting around
tearing
one up on the grill.
Well, they're not native here either. I mean, they were brought over. But I'm still curious. We never did get an Oddad. But me and John were like, challenge accepted. We want to try this. We think we can make it taste good.
With just a little bit of reload?
I told him, you put enough reload on anything that it's going to taste good.
Dang straight.
But, so anyways, they went and chased Oddad. So me and John, this turkey hunt is something I'll never forget. It was, you know, I've been on a lot of turkey hunts that you just kind of expected, you know, but this was, we never scouted this place. We never been to this place. We were going down to an area just on a whim, hoping we would hear one so we could cut the distance. But we were blocked by someone else's property anyway, so we really didn't have a lot of room to chase per the area we were going to. Mm-hmm. So me and John were walking. We call, a little, nothing. We walk some more, get the call, nothing. And then as I'm standing there with John, you know, it's just starting to crack daylight, I go, this just isn't right. There's no reason these turkeys should not be gobbling. And it wasn't a second and a half later when popped off right after I sent it. I'm not kidding. As soon as I couldn't even, the words were not even out of my mouth all the way. And one started pops off.
That's crazy.
I tell you, it's just movie stuff. So we're like, yeah, we got him. So we book it. We judge the distance about how far we heard the turkey gobble. Because if you don't know what, like, turkeys, they roost in trees. So they sleep in trees at night. At night they go and they fly up into trees and they roost on the branches, and that's where they sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they won't come off these trees for, you know, till it's well daylight or till they, you know, have a hen come get them or whatnot. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So they'll stay up there for a while, even a little bit after daylight. So
the hens come out to get them?
That's the thing with turkey hunting. It's opposite. You would think, like, you know, you think the male goes and chases the female. But when you're turkey hunting, you are trying to go against nature, and you're trying to get the male to come to you. And in reality, the female always goes to the male with turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll call back to each other, and the females will go find them to mate.
Yeah.
So that's the challenge with turkey hunting, because, you know, if you can get one to call back to you and then a real hen comes in the picture, you're screwed.
Is she going to look after her honey?
Well, that's a live piece of ass right there. You know, I'm sorry. I mean, but it happens.
Jeez.
But so anyways, we hear the turkey. We cut the distance. And we knew the spot we wanted to go set up. John had got the Onyx map system out where we could see a 3D, you know, like Google Earth image of where we wanted to hunt. He's like, I want to go here. And we decided John's going to shoot first. But we get...
How'd you guys decide that?
I decided, you know. Uh-huh. I'm pretty awesome.
Paper, rock, scissors.
Yeah, Rochambeau. But so we make our way up there, and this turkey is hammering it. He is hot. He is right on top of us at one point. I mean, he's within 100 yards, and that's close. So we set up, and the next thing we hear another one, and another one, another one. Three more, probably 300 yards away. typically when you got that many going off, you know, that helps you because they want to, they hear this one and they hear that one. As long as there's not hens in the area, you can really bring them in. So we set up, we call, and we play the patient game, and we start, those turkeys start cutting the distance and cutting the distance and cutting the distance. And we're going, all right, this is getting good. Well, John looks over at me and goes, listen, there's at least 4 turkeys. If we get all of them in front of us, we got to try the 1, 2, 3. Which is the 1, 2, 3, and both of us shoot. So I'm not going.
Oh, because if one of you shot, the rest would fly away.
Right. Yeah, you're not gonna just get up and start. So, you know, or now sometimes if they're, you know, especially if you're using a bow, you can call them back in. Mm-hmm. But so, anyways, we agree. All right, they come in. Hopefully they're gonna come in the way we want them to, and we're gonna do the 1, 2, 3 shoot. Well, they get closer and closer and closer. And John, I remember John going, the next time they gobble, he goes, I guarantee you they're going to be right here, which is like 40, 50 yards from us on the other side of these really dense, thick bushes over there. And he was the next time that he went, he hit his little call, and boom, they pop off right there. But they start going the other direction behind us. So we swivel around, and we're trying to get there, and then he hits it again. They 180, they come back the other direction. This is the part I'll never forget.
So calling works.
It does work, I guess. I mean, that's a whole nother story.
Okay.
But the part I'll never forget is we're sitting there going, okay, did they come? Did they turn? You know, where are they at? All 4 of these turkeys, those 3 cut the distance. The one that was up in the tree came down with them. And all 4 simultaneously gobbled at the same time. And it sounded like, I don't know, like if you, like a mega
posse.
Tyrannosaurus turkey or something. It scared the hell out of me and John. We both jumped, and our adrenaline's kicked. Yeah, exactly. So, but we're sitting there. They cut across, and there's one little opening, and they're on the other side of this low fence. And they come, they start filing through there, trying to find a way over to us without flying over the fence. And John goes, all right, you shoot the 3rd one, I'm shooting the 2nd one. And he counted it down, 1, 2, 3, and then boom, we both shoot. I don't even remember hearing him shoot. That's how I think we pulled the trigger that close together.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow, John missed his. And there was a lot going on. And he was the one calling the shot and everything. So all I had to concentrate on was putting my bead right on that turkey. Anyways, I laid mine down. John missed his. At least one of us got one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we high-fived and hugged and all that stuff. It was great. But I got my first Rio turkey.
It's awesome.
Ever. You know,
I was so excited when I got that text.
I've had a really good turkey season this year. Mm-hmm. But we breasted that thing out. We pulled the thighs and the drums off of it. And
the heart, liver.
And the liver, which I had never had turkey heart before. As many venison hearts as we've ate,
yeah.
I've never thought to.
Well, now I want one.
Oh, it was so good, and the liver was so good.
Yeah, which, I could do without the liver. I mean, we've had liver before, and it's not bad. But I'm not. It's not like a heart where you're like, oh, I have to have this.
Okay, so let me break the liver down a little bit.
My microphone is dropping.
Is it? Well, let's fix it.
It's 1, 2.
All right, microphone fixed. Feel good?
Yeah.
Feel good?
Turn it this way right there.
Okay.
All right, so you're good?
Yeah.
All right, so breaking down. Okay, I've had chicken livers, you know, a whitetail liver. This was delectable.
Was it not as bloody as the venison?
No. You get a little bit of that iron taste. But this
I like that taste.
But this was straight out of the bird. We got it out of the bird.
Warm.
Well, we brined it for 24 hours, okay? And then we took it and slapped it on a freaking smoker and ate that son of a gun. And it was so tender and full of flavor.
Nom, nom, nom.
It was so good. I mean, I want 100 of those.
Wow.
I could eat 100 of those turkey livers.
Is Tennessee's turkey season still going?
Or
is it done? It's May.
I mean, I can go Saturday if you'll let me.
Mm, We have baseball.
I mean, I'll probably be guaranteed to get. Anyways, so I have my first turkey heart, my first turkey liver, when we brined that stuff down and ate it with that, so that was part of our feast. Is we took though that turkey breast, and turned it into a cutlet, and then we diced it up into, which a cutlet is where you take the breast and you cut it, you know, long ways in half.
Horizontally almost. Yeah.
Yeah, so instead of it being like, you know, an inch and a half thick, it goes to being 3/4 of an inch thick. And so then we diced it up into nugs, smoked the nuggets for about 45 minutes.
That's a long time.
Well, I mean, that basically got them up to where they were almost done, but not quite. We cold smoked them like we did tonight with the venison. So we just stuck them straight on, got that good virgin smoke out of the smoker. And then on the side of the pellet smoker, they had this thing called a sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just basically a grill top / burner, propane burner. And they put a pot on there and full of vegetable oil. And
so there's like a burner, so like you could boil stuff on it.
Yeah, boil stuff. You could put the grill grates on there. You could
can we do that on our sear box?
Yeah, but the sear box isn't really big enough.
I see. Yeah.
To get this
we love
size
our sear box.
This size pot on there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we diced them up, seasoned them up. We used Reload High Caliber on there.
Oh.
All over it. And then we did the double dip with the egg and the bread.
Uh-huh.
And then egg and flour.
Uh-huh.
And then we fried them up and had this just
like a quick.
Yeah, I mean, like just till they started floating, and then.
Did you eat them dry or did you dip it into something?
Oh no, so I took our double action barbecue seasoning, and I mixed it with mayo.
Oh,
you know that little
yes.
sauce we make.
Yes, that sounds amazing.
I mixed it with mayo, and
perfect, perfect.
It's like I can't describe how freaking good it was.
Creamy, delicious.
Yeah, it's basically think like. Have you ever had Zaxby's sauce?
I don't. I mean, I'm not a big Zaxby's eater.
Well, it's like that on steroids. It's like this. That,
I mean, I've had the double action mayo.
Yeah, well, it's
so
like
you don't have to describe it to me.
Well, for our listeners, I mean, it's like that, but like that consistency,
oh, yeah.
But a lot better, so way better flavor. So we did that, and then we had brined the turkey legs and the thighs, and we smoked those out and ate those like as is. But we seasoned those and fully loaded, and then mm-hmm. one of them in pack and heat. It was really good
well,
as well.
I know you guys had a ton of meat while you were there. Did you eat any sides at any point? Because like you're telling me about your turkey nugs and your heart and your legs and thighs.
All about the sides. We took golden potatoes and red potatoes and diced those up to kind of like the hash at one point. We did got carrots and potatoes and put them in a Dutch oven and like stewed those out.
Mama has to make sure you get your vegetables.
I'm telling you, I had so much protein on this trip that I was in the airport on the way home. I got a Greek yogurt because
no,
for
he
breakfast.
Told me he was having breakfast and he storied about it, and he said, I need to go. I've got to catch my flight, and I need to finish my yogurt. And I'm like, your yogurt?
I never eat yogurt.
You eat yogurt, you know, sometimes for your lunch and stuff, but for
only
your breakfast.
You pack it, baby.
That's right. Treat your man right. But not for breakfast. That's not something I would have expected you to order. But anyways, okay. So we all know, you had wild hog there. You got turkey. All the other stuff that you got from Allen Brothers, what would you say was your best meal that you guys cooked? What was the most memorable?
That's tough. Because, you know, we got to have Wagyu beef ribs. And that was my first time having anything Wagyu.
I've never had Wagyu.
And, well, fortunately, we get to have Wagyu on Friday, thanks to our buddy Danny.
Did he get some?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
He said he was going to.
Anyways, I mean, that's a bucket list item for me. I want to try Wagyu.
Well, hopefully we get it. But it was really rich.
Uh-huh.
Those Wagyu beef ribs were. They weren't pretty. You know, it was like, I looked at the rib and I'm like, that's an ugly piece of rib.
Yeah.
But,
not picture worthy.
So full of flavor. I mean,
really?
I ate two ribs.
What did you season those with? I mean, they looked really dark.
Fully Loaded.
And there's no sugar in that.
We used Fully Loaded on that. It's just, so, it was just, I think
they
it was
were beef,
just,
so.
I think it was the type of meat. But anyways, I think my favorite was the first actual dinner we had, which was tomahawk. It was a bone-in ribeye from Allen Brothers.
Oh.
With a halved Alaskan king crab leg. Yeah, and I forgot the sides we had because though they were delicious, that was a mute point. I had a whole freaking steak, man.
That sounds awesome.
And it was so freaking good.
What's cool about it, too, I mean, I know that you went with Camp Chef, but it's just cool that all of your meals were created on their equipment. They flew down or they shipped down a whole bunch of Camp Chef equipment, and, I mean, in true fashion per the company, of course you're going to cook on their stuff, but that just made it that much more fun.
Yeah,
sure.
And just letting you guys know, this show's not sponsored
by Camp
Chef by any means, but I feel like, you know, I got that they treated me right. I got to give them their due and talk about this adventure that I went on.
I mean, that was the main part of it, was going down there, cooking some awesome meals, making memories, and showing how, I mean, you cooked all your meals outdoors.
Well, I'll tell you another thing that was big about me going down here to Texas is that I have never hunted besides Alabama. I've never hunted outside of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So to go, and I've always heard about hunting.
Wisconsin.
That's right. I did hunt in Wisconsin. That's right. But I didn't get anything. I'd always heard about Texas and the kind of hunting it is. And I'll be honest with you, I was always been kind of leery about going to Texas because I know majority of places in Texas are high fence hunts. And I just never knew how I was going to feel about hunting high fence. So what was exciting about this is that it was turkey and hogs. It wasn't like I was going after whitetail down there, which I would still do because I feel like it's you've got to experience something before you can talk about something.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to sit here and bash high fence hunting when I've not done it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I've always wanted to try to experience it. So it was kind of cool to go down there and see how it is, you know, how it's laid out, how they kind of do things around there. And I was talking to one of the guys. We met this company. So the hog hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Can we segue into that?
Yeah.
Okay. The hog hunting was something I've never done. You know, I've never. No,
I thought you've been hog hunting before.
That hog hunt did not count. So I have killed. But prior to this, I had killed one hog. But it was here in Tennessee, and it was an exotic ranch that I never even knew what an exotic ranch was at the time.
A zoo?
I don't know if you can call it a zoo, but these pigs weren't afraid of us very much. Okay. I'll say, you know what I'm saying? So we went up there. The guy was like, hey, shoot that one. And me and my brother, we each shot a pig. So I didn't really count that as a hunt. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So this one particular, there's this company called Slow Glow. Did I talk to you about these?
No.
Okay.
Excuse me. Every time you've tried to talk,
You've stifled me. So this guy and his dad, well, it was his dad that created it. It's a light, and it's a green light. Mm-hmm. Based, it runs off of a solar. It's got a battery, so it charges that battery up. But this light, when it starts getting dark, it comes on, this green light, and it only uses 5% of the light's power. But then it's got a motion sensor on it. So when something walks in front of it, it starts to brighten up, but it does it over a 2-minute period.
It's not noticeable.
Yeah, it doesn't like shock the animal, like, uh-huh, boom, here's some lights. But it does it where you, because these pigs are primarily nocturnal. They do a lot of their, you know, feeding and stuff at night. So anyways, this thing or whatnot, it would start getting brighter over a 2-minute period. And even if you were looking at it, if you were looking straight at it, you would not be able to tell that it was getting brighter because your eyes would be adjusting with it as it goes.
Yeah.
But if you looked away and then looked back, you would be able to tell that it got noticeably brighter. Anyways, I was just talking to the guy about wild hogs. You know, I'm like, so what's the deal? You know, what's going on with this? You know, they try. He was telling me all the different ways between what we were doing, which was hunting them, you know, doing an ambush setting where we were wanting them to come in to some feed. They would eat the feed. You know, light would get on, whatever. We would shoot our hog. He said that the state of Texas, and just to keep the population even, okay, has to kill 750,000 hogs.
Oh my gosh!
Every year. That's just to keep the population.
I know, like, from what I've heard, is they're overrun and they're causing, like, wreaking havoc on people's land and their homes and.
Well, it's not even that. They eat turkey eggs. They eat fawns. They eat anything.
Why do they spawn so spawn? why do they spawn like so crazy? Like, why is there?
I don't know.
Why is there millions of them?
I was talking to Tim about this, Bama Grillmaster. I was talking to him about it. I was like, why in the world would God create an animal that could do this? And then I started thinking about back in the olden days, back, you know, when you got to churn your butter and stuff. I don't know, like, pigs were currency. Pigs were your livelihood. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you didn't have a grocery store, you had livestock. And if you could grow a livestock and sell pigs and stuff like that, I mean, I don't know, maybe that's why God mm-hmm. created them that way. But
I'm trying to understand it.
So he told me this. He said in a 3-year period, two sows, female pigs, and one boar could create 16,000 pigs.
That's sick.
In 3 years,
that's
man.
That's why it's a problem.
That's why it's a problem. Because these...
So imagine if people didn't hunt them.
Each sow can have 2 litters a year and up to 10 piglets per litter. Now, here's the math comes in. At 3 months of age, a pig can be bred and have a litter.
That's crazy.
3 months. So that's how it just compounds and compounds mm-hmm. and compounds. And you can't keep up. You really...
It becomes an issue.
And they tried poisoning these things years ago.
Oh.
I know, but it's like, what do you do?
It's terrible.
But here's the problem with the poison that they used is you poison the kind of poison they used. When that pig eats the poison, it dies. Something else eats it. That kills it.
Yeah,
and it's an ongoing thing. So it was a detriment to the ecosystem.
Or what if a pig ate the poison and then you guys go and hunt it and then go and eat it?
They die like that, like they eat the poison and within a minute.
I guess you're not eating dead pigs.
Yeah, no. They stink, man. But
ew. So there was cactuses and everything there. Did you see any scorpions?
I did not see scorpions. I didn't think about scorpions. I was sitting on the freaking ground, man.
Yeah, there's scorpions. And rattlesnakes? Any rattlesnakes?
So they had, at the little pavilion where we were doing our cooking at, they had 2 rattlesnakes in aquariums.
Why?
They had caught them. And so they caught them, and then they did the devenom thing.
Oh, okay. So they're not going to hurt you.
For like a class. No. They were built back up.
Can they not come out of a cage?
Well, it had a lid on it.
Oh.
It wasn't like a wire. It was an aquarium. Like a fish aquarium.
Oh.
Glass. They are pissed. They would.
Well, I mean, can you imagine being stuck in that thing?
Go there and tap on it. What's going on, man?
Would they rattle?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
It was gnarly.
Man.
So, anyways, it was really cool to be educated on the wild pig situation
mm-hmm.
and why it's so bad and how lucky we are that it hasn't fully reached us yet here in Tennessee, which it will. It's eventually going to. They're already in West Tennessee and stuff.
Well, I mean, that's one thing that I was really curious about when you were going down there. I've never had wild boar or wild pig or wild hog or anything like that. Obviously, I've had pork. And I was curious. I actually asked one of our followers on Instagram. He had tagged us where he had used Reload and some wild hog. And I was asking him about the difference in taste. And he said he like absolutely loved it. And it was awesome. So I really, really wanted to taste it. And unfortunately, you got your hog on the last night.
Yeah.
But thankfully, John.
That's right.
Sent some home with you. Thank you so much, John, because now we've got them all vacuum
sealed. He was
sealed.
Thinking of you, man. He really was. He was like, you can't go home empty-handed. He goes, you got to at least, because we were talking about
that gives you better chances of getting to go again. Just
that's
saying.
Right. Well, he was like, you got to bring something home to Stacy. You know, she's gonna want to eat some of this. And I'll
tell you, that's something I was curious on.
Well, I'll say this. Okay, so you shoot one of these pigs, they stink, they're filthy.
I'm not gonna eat it now.
Now listen, they got really wiry hair. Yeah. So, but once you skin one out, and you peel all that back, and you get down to the meat, it is so clean.
Mm-hmm.
It smells amazing. I know that's weird, yeah. But it is so clean and is beautiful meat. And so once you get down to that, it's fantastic.
Well, I'll tell you, when you brought home what you had from John, and we were vacuum sealing the parts.
Yeah.
It didn't smell like when we're vacuum sealing pork that we get at the store.
Because,
you know, that always has like a smell to it. It smells like pork, but that it was clean. There was no scent to it.
So I'll tell you this. So Tim shot his boar the second to last night.
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah, Thursday.
Thursday?
No. Tuesday.
Wednesday.
That's right. Wednesday night. And we skinned it out. We got the hams, and we got the front shoulders, and we got the tenderloins. And so we took those front shoulders, which if you know what a Boston butt is, a Boston butt, you know, is most people, they will smoke and they will pull it apart for barbecue sandwiches, pulled pork. That comes from the front shoulder, the front leg.
It's not really pig butt.
No, I don't even know why they call it Boston butt, but. It's the upper shoulder. What is this called? This muscle.
The deltoid.
That's what it is. It's that big ball. But like, you know, these farm raised pigs are massive, so they have a lot bigger area there. It's on that upper, you know, that spade, whatever you call it. But it's so this on the wild boar, they're moving all the time. They're running and gunning and you know that kind of stuff. They're not eating out of troughs and candy and whatever they feed them, corn fed to fatten them up,
trash and garbage and Snicker bars.
Sure, but so it actually the front shoulder was about the same size and resembled a whitetail.
Wow,
it literally was about the same size.
I felt like the meat was lighter in color too.
Yeah, well, it's pork, so it is. So it's lighter than a whitetail, you know.
Oh my gosh, I am totally a blonde.
Ding ding ding. But I feel like it tasted like pig.
Stop.
It's so weird.
Oh my God.
It's so weird. You know, this wild boar.
Edit that out.
That tastes like a pig, not venison.
The color of it was a lot lighter.
Oh my God. I wasn't thinking.
Sorry, guys.
But, so anyways, it was just a cool experience to break one of the, I've never, like I like to, if you any of you guys don't know or don't follow me online, I love to process everything that I hunt, and I have yet to been able to process a wild pig. So that was fun. That was fun for me, even though it was late. We were dying. We got no sleep this whole week. That whole week, I mean, it was, you know, I had no sleep the previous week, you know, from our Game of Bones competition that we did.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of work with that going on.
And then to get there, and we stayed up late. We were, you know, at the time change and everything, and then to get up early, it was just up early to bed late. Cause we would hawk hunt late at night.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And it would get dark there. I know we're. I feel like I'm jumping around, but it would get dark there at like 10 o'clock. Here. So it'd be like 10:30 here, and the sun is just setting there. I was all thrown off or whatever.
Well, yeah, you told me to go out. You called me and told me to go outside and at the time the air conditioning wasn't working. He said, see if you can go out there and see if the air conditioning's, you know, caked up from the dust from all the construction in the back. And I'm like, honey, it's dark out there. Oh, yeah.
But no, I got a hog the last night, but we weren't able.
And John got a hog. Tim got a hog.
John got a hog the first night.
That's right.
He freaking, he made a hell of a shot. you know, right behind the ear, salvaged all the meat. Because they say you don't want to shoot them like you would a deer or any other big game animal, because if you get into those, into the vitals, the gut area, like you hit any of that, it said you just don't even want to eat the hog.
Ew.
Like I've not experienced that, but that's just kind of what they told us. That there's so much, they eat so much nasty stuff.
Ew.
That if you expose that, you're done. Yeah. You don't even want to eat it. But I'm telling you, it was some of the cleanest tasting.
But he got a good shot in.
He did, yeah. And so did Tim. Tim got a hell of a shot in on his too. Oh. The one that I shot did not.
Yeah.
It was, you know, and I could tell you all the excuses and everything, but.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the gory details.
No, it was just we did the last night, we did a big spot and stall. We were just going from spot to spot to spot. And the last spot we went to, we found hogs there.
Mm-hmm.
And these towers that they had set up for you to climb into were sketchy as hell. Scared the piss out of me.
And Joel's afraid of heights.
Because I don't like heights. But I climbed my butt up there, man, and I got freaking set. But it was probably a good, from point A to point B, I would say a good 80-foot drop.
What?
Yeah, 80 to 100 feet. Like, not that it was like a sheer cliff, just from the top of that tower down from the angle where that
pig, where that pig was eating. Oh, I see. You didn't climb that high. But.
Right. And it was dark, and that pig was behind the slow glow light, that green light that was out there. So all I had was a silhouette shot. So I just put where I thought I was supposed to, and then I killed a pig instantly, but it wasn't a good shot.
And that was the last night as well. So.
And it was salvageable, which was a bummer. But thankfully, John was kind enough to give me some boar meat, some pig meat, to bring home. You know, so we can try it or whatnot. But
yes, thank you, John. I truly appreciate it, and I'm really excited to try it.
Well, we got to talk about this because I know we are getting close to time. I want to bring it all the way back around to that feast we were talking about. You know, as much of the good stuff that we had that last day, that last big cook we did, we went balls out. And we would have even had fish too, but we didn't get the fish as much as we wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
This 10-acre lake they had there was full of fish.
Man.
I caught a 3-pound bass on that thing.
Woohoo!
I'm pretty proud of myself.
Well, you probably wouldn't have been able to get me off of that.
No, you would have been on that all week.
I could fish all day long. Mm-hmm.
So we did a huge spread. Tim made a massive amount of coleslaw. We smoked two whole shoulders. We smoked two pork tenderloins. This is the wild, the wild boar tenderloins, and this was off the pig that Tim shot. So we had the we pulled those shoulders out for pulled pork sandwiches. We sliced the tenderloin up for just little bites of goodness or whatever. We had the wild turkey was out there. We had the duck legs were out there. Oh my goodness, what else was out there? I can't remember. I'm drawing a blank. But anyway, it is huge feast. And every day that we cooked, that the military was there, the Air Force was there, we would set aside stuff for them, and they ate it up. I had this one girl. I had a huge plate of avocado when we did the tri-tip street tacos.
I was
going to
ask you about
tacos.
That. What meat was the street tacos?
Tri-tip. Yeah. So I had this huge plate of avocado, and I was like, hey, you anybody want some avocado? And her eyes got as big as saucers. She's just like
basic white girl.
Started smashing this avocado. It was all seasoned up. It was delicious. But
well, for one, another thing I'm jealous of is you got your hands on tri-tip. And that's not something that we find around here easily. I've never found it at all. I've never been able to find tri-tip. And so tell me about that.
Well,
you think it's something I would like?
Yes, 100% is definitely something you would like. But I'll say when we were cooking the tri-tip, as soon as it got done, we were plating our tacos. A freaking monsoon rolled in,
mm-hmm.
and we're in this huge pavilion. This pavilion is as big as long as our house and taller than our house. You know what I mean? It's huge. But this monsoon rolled in. It was sideways rain. So we were shoving the tacos in as fast as we could. But I don't remember a whole lot because it was really cold rain.
Oh, okay.
And we just...
Because were you not protected?
No. There's no walls.
I know, but you got a cover.
That's what I'm saying. It was sideways rain. Oh. Like it literally was just like... It was a monsoon, okay?
You were going to get wet.
Okay. Yes, we were getting
tacos over getting wet.
I ate the damn tacos; they were delicious. But I mean, I don't remember.
You know what? I would have sat in that rain. I would have enjoyed every bit of that savory, juicy, tender tri-tip taco.
Well, you listen here, woman. I did, and then I went and hid in the back room because I was freezing.
Brooks, next time I'll appreciate those tacos.
And I want to say this. I have to say this. You know, Brooks is such a great guy. It was. It's hard for me to have somebody that is, like, you know, trying to do everything for you. That's not how I was raised.
You're the giver.
Yeah, I mean, like, I just, like, you know, I wanted to pay for stuff and I wanted to do things. And he's like, no, this trip's about you. And that was a tough thing for me. And he really represented and made me proud to be a part of the Camp Chef company. Made me be proud to own those products.
Just a good guy.
Mm-hmm. And not to mention John and Tim.
They're
just good people. Mm-hmm. You know? And to be around those men and have that camaraderie and so many things in common. And
Praying before your meals.
Breaking bread together. Mm-hmm. You just don't get that a lot now.
Yeah.
You know?
That's awesome. I'm glad it went well. I am.
Well,
I was really happy for you.
Well, I want to say this to you that I want to, and I'm not getting a little too sappy, but about how thankful I am for you and appreciative I am of you, because you texted me when I got there and you said, I'm so happy for you. You deserve this. Mm-hmm. And that really, it really meant a lot to me. Then I want you to know that I really appreciate you as my wife. And there's people out there that wouldn't let their husbands. Yeah, flip that hair, girl.
Flips hair. I wish they could see me right now.
I really am, honey. And I love
Thank you.
I love you. And that was an experience I'm never going to forget. And I hope I get to do it again. I hope I get to do it with you.
That'd be cool.
Sometime.
That'd be cool, for sure. And I love you, too. And, of course, I was super, super happy about it. Even happier when you brought home some meat. Thank you, John, again.
I'm telling you guys, if I go hunting here in Tennessee and I don't bring home meat, this chick busts my balls about it. It's like, why'd you even go?
That's right.
You know, so
that's why I'm cool with it. Listen, I've got to wrangle up these children whenever you're gone. So it's got to be worth my while, too. But
what are you drinking? What are you sipping on?
I have some Fresca with some vodka. Why? What? Was that a joke or something?
Well, I got me some Fresca.
Stop.
With a little bit of vodka.
I've just been nursing it. I've barely
on the rocks.
Barely drank on it.
I'll tell
well,
you.
Well, Joel, actually, you got something.
I do.
Something.
The owner of the ranch gave me a bottle of whiskey that was very precious to him. It's not like I don't know what it is. I've never heard of it. But it's a Texas-based whiskey.
It's a Chuck Norris whiskey.
It's legendary. Texas Ranger. It's delicious. I'm drinking it over an ice ball right now.
And I actually like it.
It's delicious. It's smooth, light, got some vanilla and some nuttiness to it.
I know. I like nutty drinks. That's terrible. I didn't mean that. Stop that.
I can fix that for you.
Stop that. Stop.
Sorry.
No.
She's going to make me cut that out later.
No. Anyway, so.
So, yeah. All in all, it was a great experience. I learned a lot. Got to eat some pretty awesome stuff. And I was reaffirmed in that there's still some really good companies out there that give a crap about the people that promote them.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Absolutely. For sure. And, you know, be on the lookout, too. If you guys don't follow Joel, he's at Home Cookin' Hunter on Instagram. In the next couple weeks, he's going to be rolling out some of the pictures and things that he took, you know, while he was there. They did story, but they were kind of really in the moment at the time. So he's got a bunch of pictures he shared with me today. And you know, he'll be rolling those out over the next couple weeks on his page, and it's really cool pictures.
Oh, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention the owner of the ranch, of the Ravelli Ranch. His name is Vol Montgomery. It's the coolest name ever. One, because of
her soap opera name. I love it.
I'm a Tennessee Vol. I love my Vols. But Vol Montgomery, and the guy that ran his ranch is he just retired 6 months ago. His name is Matt. His last name escapes me, but
Balthazar or something.
I'm not sure. But he was a fantastic guy.
Yeah.
He was retired 21 years in the Marines.
Gosh, he didn't even look that age. He looked young.
Well, I mean, look, our sister-in-law, your brother's wife.
That's true.
She's retiring in 2 years at 37.
That's true.
At 20 years in the military, at the Air Force, so. You know, it depends on what age you get in, but he was one of the most incredible people that I'd ever talked to. Uh-huh. I'd love to get him on this podcast sometime. He had told us some amazing stories, and was just, I mean, I sat there like a kid sitting in front of his grandpa, but you know what I mean? I was just in awe of this guy and the stuff he was saying and everything. Mm-hmm. So I'd be remiss if I didn't thank them for having us out there, for taking care of us, and being such incredible people. So thank you, Vol. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate all that you guys did. And that's it. I believe that's wrapping up my trip to Texas.
That's awesome. Well, I'm really stoked for you. I'm really stoked to hit up that hog.
We gotta come up with something. We gotta do something pretty stellar for that hog.
For sure.
I'll say that. Well, I mean, I'll say this: it didn't. I know we got to get, but it didn't pull like a regular Boston butt would. So it
wasn't basted with all that good fat.
Well, I think it needs. Right, there's not much fat on it. I think we need to brine that.
Really?
Brine that sucker.
I like these gang signs you're throwing at me with your
hands. I got my hands. I talk with my hands.
Yo, wiggity whack.
Yo, sucker! We need to brine that mother in some salt and sugar.
Some fully loaded. That's how we brined our turkey.
And some fully loaded. No, but we need to brine it. I think break it down real good.
Yeah.
Do it a little bit of some injection.
Oh.
What?
Should inject it with like some buttery goodness.
Fully loaded. All right, we got to get it, guys. Listen, guys, I want to thank you all. Thank you all for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed all of my and my beautiful wife and co-host's ramblings. But we love y'all. Listen, also, if you're listening to this, you got to go to ReloadRub.com and get hooked up with some of our seasonings, guys, so you can reload your food, break bread with your family and your friends. And listen, if you use that coupon code, ThatReloadLife, you can save you a little bit of cash on your checkout of that. So thank you guys for listening to this, and I hope that you enjoyed our podcast. Oh, and guys, as I always say, love hard, live well, and always
reload.
Reload, guys. Thank y'all.